Hey, Dr. Drew here, and this is just a reminder that the discussions here are not a substitute for medical care or medical evaluation. This is purely for entertainment and education. We hope you learn something, but see your doctor, get proper medical care.
Now, there are a lot of factors that lead to recovery and particularly success in recovery, but programs that challenge patients, that don't gratify them, that often is the most effective. And that's what we like about Last House Sober Living in Los Angeles. Last House, structured program based on accountability and your actions, living a certain kind of life. Not like those luxury treatment centers that kind of feed the narcissism, entitlement, and selfishness. Last House works to combat the learned helplessness some of these millennials have. Also, device dependency. A lot of places shrink from that one. And the codependent family system that needs a lot of help. The community challenges addicts with disciplinary systems that teaches them consequences for their choices and actions. The program isn't easy. In fact, it's quite difficult. It's supposed to be difficult. It's hard work to recover. Their theory is, much like diamonds, recovered addicts are forged under pressure. If you or a loved one is looking for a program that aligns with so many of the characteristics we believe lead to a successful recovery, please have a look at Last House. Learn more, visit thelasthouse.net. Again, that is thelasthouse.net. Visit them today.
You are listening to the This Life podcast with Dr. Drew Pinsky and me, Mike Catherwood.
That's right. We're doing it this time. So check it out. Thanks for listening.
You live.
Indeed, you live. Give us a call, 323-649-8268. That's 323-649-8268. And again, go to drdrew.com, check out all the family of pods and everything we have there. Facebook. Emily Morris is still with us here, the family of pods. Strangely produced by my family. It's funny how that works. The First Lady of Love is producing it. So, Mike, we promised people we would open with the Bert Kreischer, Joe Rogan conversation about being sober.
I was so surprised.
Being abstinent.
I guess about 2 weeks into October, they did a recent podcast, 10 days in or something like that. And I was just so surprised to hear that they were discovering so many positive aspects out of not drinking or smoking weed, you know?
Like, it happens fast.
Well, yeah, but I didn't assume, because I don't see either gentleman as being an actual addict, you know? So I didn't think that there would be that much notice difference.
Well, I agree. You know, you and I have a similar feeling about what a, quote, actual addict is, right?
Well, I know it when I see it.
Yeah, yeah. And we have new categories these days of sort of dependent users that are sort of not real addicts per se.
I totally agree. I mean, who am I to argue with the doctor? Yeah. But I only see that really happening
with opiates.
You're not chemically an addict, but the pills have got you.
All right, so let's talk about the two molecules that are at issue, which is alcohol and pot. Would you agree that there are tons of binge alcohol users out there?
Hell yeah.
They're not real addicts in the way you think of an addict, but they can get into real trouble and can need general treatment.
Especially
right?
because of the nature of that drug. Right. Alcohol can get you.
So that's Bert's zone, right?
Yeah.
So it makes sense that he would have some benefit from stopping. And he probably was using a lot more than he realized. And certainly was having much more effect on his sleep and his affect and his thinking and other things. Cannabis, same exact thing. He had probably had no trouble stopping, Joe, but he didn't realize how much it was affecting him.
That's the
really difficult thing about weed. It has very profound effects that people lose their insight into seeing what's happening.
Well, I've always said I feel real bad for – everybody always laughs at the guy who comes into an NA meeting or an inpatient facility with weed being his or her drug of choice. Mm-hmm. And I say, no. Don't laugh. I feel bad for that person, because you can live a life – being addicted to weed, being a weeder.
And get support. Not only is it easier to sort of keep functioning and convince yourself you are a functioning, I've had no effects, the world reinforces that.
You are forced to take a good hard look in the mirror when it's coke or meth or alcohol, especially alcohol.
Yeah.
But, one thing that Joe said on the Joe Rogan Experience episode with Bert Kreischer, the most recent one, that I found really interesting, he's like, I'm having dreams.
Yeah,
I haven't had dreams in years. And I was like, oh, yeah, I wonder how that plays out, like, in the brain.
Sleep disturbance. And he's going to have messed up sleep for a while now. He's going to notice that improving, too.
You think?
Yeah.
Did he quit?
They both are doing Sober October.
30 days. Okay.
So I don't think –
Emily's like, whatever.
I'm just like, everyone does it. I'm like, clearly there's an addiction. When people have to stop like that, like
but
Sober
don't
October
have,
or
neither,
Sober January.
Neither of them – it's a really long story. Neither of them had to. It was a collective. A bunch of comics got together and dared – each other to do all this
good
stuff.
Well, no, I think it's healthy. I think it's good. And pot is so much stronger now, too, that I think that people don't realize.
Well, that is a thing that people – there's no – like, regular weed doesn't exist anymore.
No.
Like, the weed I smoked daily in high school – Oh, yeah. You don't smoke that daily.
No.
And that was already 10 times stronger than what we were dealing
exactly.
with when I was in high school.
It's, yeah.
But to your point, though, when people have to make deals around substances.
Right? There you go. Yeah. It's a problem there.
It's a problem. Yeah. Here's the thing, though. If, let's say, I was to be 20-year-old Mike involved in this deal that Bert and Tom Segura and Joe Rogan, they're all making – I would get 3 days in and I would be – there would be no update podcast where I'm going, dude, it's amazing. I go and have coffee.
You'd be having seizures.
I would be going, guys, this isn't funny.
Yeah.
Like, we got to stop. So yeah. that, so when people say yeah. like, well, if you have to make deals, I was like, these guys aren't really making deals. They're just kind of busting each other's chops.
But again, it's – which is a very relevant and meaningful conversation, which is, you know, when is addiction? And
right.
we have become a little casual with our use of the language.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, where everyone's an addict, everyone's got a behavior addiction, and I always, for me, it was always helpful to have a very broad swath of how I understood the condition, because it helped me understand the biology, it helped me predict where things were likely to go, and it helped me help people. But I think in the culture, it's been a little overdone.
Here's my thing too: is that so many people, and I look at it as like a real blessing that perfect strangers would feel like I'm someone they can turn to. I mean, it really means a lot to me. I don't take it for granted. But because I've been open about recovery, a lot of guys will come up and be like, hey, man, I don't know if I'm an addict. I don't know if I'm an alcoholic, but blah, blah, blah. And I go, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
If you really, like, if you feel like if you want to stop,
yeah.
what is the clinical definition of – I was like, I don't know. It's above my pay grade.
I
was like, if you really want to work on quitting drinking, quitting using drugs – that's your business. If you don't, then don't.
And I got to tell you something. When I worked with Russell Brand last week, we did that thing at LA Talks or Talks Live Talks LA, I guess it's called. His version, his way of communicating the 12-step, it was very clever. He goes, are you effed?
Yeah.
Would you like to be less effed?
Yeah, would you like
– that's your first step. Are you effed? Let's talk about it. Would you like to be less effed? The second step. Are you willing to commit yourself to being less effed?
Then you're getting into weird territory because there's plenty of people who drink or use that are fucked that – it's not because of the drugs and alcohol. I mean, that's a weird, sketchy
theory. Certainly.
There's a lot of dual diagnosis that goes on.
But they're not saying – he didn't say, are you effed because you drink?
Yeah.
He said just, are you effed? Would you like to be less so?
In some way,
not would you like to be perfectly healthy. Would you like to be less effed?
Yeah.
Right.
And that's a good place to start. Let's take some calls here. Again, the number is 323-649-8268. And this here is Terry has been on hold. There we go. Terry's been on hold a little while here. I seem to be having difficulty getting this system to work again. Maybe you want to pull him up, Nate? Or this
Nate dog.
Is Terry up? Nate's working.
Well, here's another thing real quick while we get the call up. That's another – we're listening to Joe and Bert. What I recognized was me listening to it, I go, I don't speak your language. And that's how another reason I knew – where if you were to talk to me 10 days in, I would be going, oh, this is fucking terrible. I can't wait till September 1st or November 1st.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I mean, I'm counting that they were talking about all the unnoticed benefits that came around, and they were just kind of waxing poetic about it. Yeah, I'm sure they missed their drug, whatever it was. But there was the acknowledgement of these highlights. When I wanted to get clean, I'm in an inpatient program for a long period of time. I'm like, this is to save my own life. I'm like, oh no, this sucks. I mean, I'm saving my life, but this is fucking horrible. I love cocaine and alcohol.
And to be fair, in a weird way, see, I always felt like guys like that had it better because they knew
it's a blessing.
They were. While a guy like Bert is still trundling along, able to control it, it can do a lot of damage.
It can.
There hasn't been the severe consequences.
Yeah. Well, it's like my friend's dad got into recovery in like his 50s. Mm. And he was like a heavy drinker in college and stuff. But he never did the DUIs, the jail, the hospital. And so then he finally started seeing those drastic consequences in his 50s. And he was talking to me about it. And he's like, man, I really wish I would have just nipped this in the bud in my 20s because I really wish I would have had where it didn't hurt anybody, but I would have gone to jail or I would have had something to because – Lord knows how much better I could have been as a family man in my career.
You hear that,
you know.
That's right. That's I see a lot of. But Terry, go ahead.
Hi.
Hey, Terry.
Hello.
Hello. We're here. Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Hey there.
Hello.
We are here. You speak.
You
this
talk
is
now.
Where you talk.
Oh, hi. This is Terry. I'm from Utah.
Yeah. Magic underwear.
Yeah. just outside of Salt Lake City.
Sick.
I've listened to you guys since 2004, right before I had my second daughter, and you helped me with raising kids. My relationship got better. I've been married almost 20 years.
Nice.
And, yes, I've, holy cow, Dr. Drew is a god.
Uh-oh,
it's true. I swear he literally helped me save my marriage. Just, trying to work myself out.
Really?
And yes, it's been a crazy ride, but we're doing it.
Great, Terry.
And I have to say thanks to Mike for the dick pics and getting me ready for my son.
Nice.
What?
Because I ran into my first... Yes. My son's 10 years old, and my first... run in with that was when I took them to the lake and I was leaving and there was a picture of a penis and it said C-O-C-K, mm-hmm. but there was a little happy smiley face in there. I didn't freak out because I know Mike says that's kind of normal.
Oh yeah.
I don't even know what's going on. You said your dick, I don't know, your first dick pic you felt okay with because Michael...
Because Mike calmed her down about it. She would have freaked out totally.
Oh, I get
she
it.
She understands
okay.
that there are plenty, men can, there are plenty, of, there are plenty right. of straight gotcha. Men that are obsessed with
yeah.
penis.
Yeah. Okay.
I love
he's
penis.
He's my only son, so there's a lot of things that I'm not aware of.
But you're aware that a penis exists because you had a son, so therefore you had to have seen one.
Yes.
Okay.
I have two older daughters, and so I wasn't, you know... Mike got me ready for a lot of things.
Yeah, it's a very simple piece of machinery.
Yeah, Terry, how can we help today? What's going on?
Just how am I, what do I get ready for with my daughter graduating high school next year? And, you know, like, as my kids, what kind of emotions come with that stuff?
Hey, Susan, you want to ring it? Yeah, you've got someone who's been through it here.
Oh, wait, I was
empty nest
doing social media. So
she was asking, you know, as her kids leave for college, what kind of emotions should she expect?
Oh, all your kids are leaving
no,
for
not,
college?
No, we only had that experience. She's doing it the old-fashioned way, leaving one at a time, but she's wondering, the first one's about to go.
You know, that's a big topic on drdrew.com every time the school year comes around.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, women are just looking for answers. But I had a very unique situation because I had three at the same time and I was extremely busy for 18 years and I had three 18-year-olds in the house at the same time and they were all kind of mean to me.
Oh my gosh.
So the minute I got them all packed up and out and gone, it was almost sort of a relief,
yeah.
you know, for me.
And your two sons are gay. She made it very
I got to
hard
travel a lot, but Drew and I reconnected, and I think the biggest part of it was that he and I reconnected on this new level where we had a lot of free time with each other. We could have more intimacy without worrying about somebody hearing us or doing anything. And actually, it was really a good experience for me. But they all left at once. Now, if you have one at a time, it might be a little harder.
But it's the same idea.
Yeah.
You got to look for those things that will be beneficial.
Exactly.
And Drew had three TV shows and he was super busy, so it didn't bother him at all. And I was super busy too. But it is like, I think I felt it more when they finished college, they came back and then they left again.
Mm.
Yeah.
It was weird when they would come and go.
Oh,
that
my.
Was weird. The coming and going was weird.
Yeah. And I would, like, because I'd be cooking dinner and then all of a sudden one would move out and then I wouldn't have anybody in the house for like 3 days and then another one would move back in. But I think if you have more to do with your life and you find – like I had to figure out what I was going to do with my life and I had to get a job and I ended up
–
now I'm
– See, look what happened. Look at your hair producing.
It took me 6 years to figure it out. But it was like my job was to figure out how to make myself happy and do stuff that – you know, I wanted to contribute too. I wanted to make money and because I hadn't been able to make money in 18 years. So whatever it is that turns you on and makes you happy, you need to focus on that. And you might be able to do it while they're one by one leaving.
Yeah.
You can build to it anyway.
And one rule that I have is the first year of college, you try to make it like the best year of their life. Let them get from beginning to end so that they have a positive experience. Like Drew found out he had prostate cancer, so we held the information until after they got out in the summer because we didn't want them worrying. We wanted them to go and just
the
feel
first
like
year could, is a very treacherous time for it's just a difficult time. There's a lot of kids drop out those years. The dirty little secret about college admissions is only a certain percentage stay in those colleges.
Yeah.
And a lot of colleges are geared up to anticipate that. Families need to anticipate that. And no matter what, you got to help them stay there.
Prognostically, it's
better if they stay in that environment for that entire year. So
that's sort of my
intuition. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Terry. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. You got it.
All right, thank you.
Bye. See, Nate, I still can't. Oh, there you go. Do you do that for me? Okay, thank you. Again, our number is 323-649-8268. So, Emily, you didn't tell us about your daily life. You said it's getting.
Oh, no.
Tell us about your Mexican masseuse.
Oh,
it's gave you chorizo.
No, I don't want to get into that. It's okay. Fun. No, I'm dating, casually dating.
Yeah.
I am. Yeah, I'm on the apps. People introduce me to people.
You guys getting obsessed about you?
Oh, guys getting obsessed with me. I mean, yeah, but not – yes. I mean, that always is going to happen. But I, weed those guys out. Like, I'm not going to hang
what
out.
What is
if
it
you're
with
obsessed
men,
with me.
Women don't do that typically.
I mean, they get obsessed with it.
Well, no, they do. They get
obsessed.
No, if you have sex with them, then they do. They have sort of a connection they can't let go of. But men can obsess. They just decide, I got to be with that person. I have that person.
Well,
yeah.
I don't know of that.
I know because you've never had anybody – you've never actually asked somebody out. Let alone get obsessed about somebody.
You got a whole different thing. No, I mean, but I'm dating. It's good. Interesting stories. I don't know. Maybe
we're listening. We're all ears.
I know. You want to hear about the masseuse? It's a good story.
No, I don't. Because I feel like that's just, it's going to be like, this was a fun fling. But
no,
I
want to
hear about you and dating.
Okay,
I want to hear
about
you and dating.
Ask the question.
Like, I do feel like maybe you have a distorted lens. Because you deal with dating life.
Because
she
deals with
sex.
Dating life. I mean, she has to hear of everybody's weird problems all the time. And maybe you're hypersensitive to certain things that you shouldn't necessarily be looking out for.
No, I don't think
for.
I do what? That. I don't think I trip out when I'm like, this guy must be, and then psychologically diagnose him to this is going to be a problem. I don't think I do that. I don't think I bring my work home in that way. But I feel like I was always in a relationship for as long as you guys knew. I was always dating somebody. And the last, year and a half is, the longest I've gone with actually not being in a relationship. And that felt like all the stuff that I tell people, you should take the time without being with someone. I actually did it, and that feels really good.
And it feels fulfilling and stuff?
Yeah. Good. I worked on myself. I moved. I was always about my business, and now that's in a good place, where I can kind of have more time now to date. I know what I want.
You ever thought
tripping.
Of going –
I'm not desperate,
No, so I know you're not.
Hang on. Let's talk to Michael. Michael.
Yeah.
Hi, Michael.
What about lesbo action?
What's happening, guys?
What's any lesbo action?
Not lately.
Well, hold on a second. And Mike was asking important questions. Go ahead, Michael. What's up?
Go ahead.
Well, you guys kind of switch subjects while I was waiting. But I think I have an anecdote that might open a new dimension to the conversation that we were having earlier about sexual assault.
That's a topic of the year right now. It's a very we could not sort of get into it enough, I'd say.
Yeah, and I think that, what happens is that what I'm about to say, apparently you're not allowed to mention things like this, but I don't give a shit, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm 31 years old. When I was 18, I was in my first year in college, and I met this lady that was in my class, in one of my classes, and she flirted with me for a few weeks, very, very intensely. So one night there was a party with all the people in the classroom, and she flirted with me all night, right? At some point, we talked a little bit, and then we went into a room in the house. Everybody willingly, she seemed excited about it. We made out in the room, and then at some point when I thought it was time to move to the next stage, she was hesitant. But I'm not defending rapists.
It was not a categorical no. It was like, I'm not sure. That kind of thing?
In today's world, let's stop right there. But I was inexperienced.
Hang on, let's stop right there.
Yeah.
So, Emily, in today's world, should, I'm not sure, should guys just go, okay, I'm out?
Yeah, they should kind of pull back.
Not pull back.
I just go,
I mean, in today's world, yes, when they're talking about getting consent and do you consent to this?
So, yeah,
I think today's world, you pull back. You stop.
But that was how many years ago, Michael?
Oh, this was, I don't know, 20-something years ago.
Okay, so we get before, it.
Okay. So she sort of was hesitant, then you went ahead, and then what happened?
Well, did I say 22? No, about 12. So I kept insisting because she was laughing, and it seemed like she was playing hard to get. And I was getting late, but I was obviously not as experienced as I am now. So I kept insisting, and at some point I pulled her pants down. It's embarrassing to say. And she started crying. And I was horrified. Absolutely horrified. I was appalled. I was embarrassed. I helped her.
It's funny. I'm getting a weird feeling when you tell me this, because usually women cry when I pull my pants down.
Oh, yeah.
That's anticipation. This was different.
No, that's disappointment. That's disappointment.
She was
laughing at this one.
Yes. I was horrified, and I did my best to make sure that hey, you know what? I don't mean to hurt you. I'm sorry. I didn't know what was going on. I'm really sorry. I apologize. Did my best because I felt horrible. I was horrified, and it was not my intention at all. So we went out of the room, and the party kept going. Hours later, she came on to me again. We went into the room again, and we had sex. So I have no doubt in my mind that I was inadvertently assaulting her in that earlier stage. But I think these things are very, very nuanced sometimes. And neither side, people who defend rapists or people who always defend women, I don't think either side allows for the nuance that occurs in real life.
I understand what you're saying, but that's kind of why I stopped you in the conversation earlier. I think the nuance has to be taken. If I were advising a male, I would say
on the side of no.
Yeah, no, nuances aren't really for in that space of nuance, a lot of different things go on. In this situation, it worked out, whatever, but a lot of other experiences get packed into that that zone we call nuance. And isn't it interesting how, again, men and women, for a man, particularly a young man, inexperienced, to go through that would be just confusing. Like, what?
Right. She's playing hard to get. Is she not?
Just confusing, but the pants come off and they're crying. Yeah. It's like, whoa, whoa. And he's traumatized by that. It's like he had no idea that was going to do that to her.
Especially, young women don't. I mean, they really don't know.
You know what? Honestly, it didn't hit me until maybe a couple of years ago when this subject came up, started coming up more frequently, and women started speaking out more. That's when I went back and re-assimilated what happened. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, my God, I almost assaulted. I pretty much assaulted this woman without, intending to. And I was raised with, women are the same as men. Women are equal. Women are intelligent. You should always respect women. They're not your mates. My dad was very pro-woman, but I guess that conversation about the specifics of the dynamics of courtship, I guess.
Yeah, right. And what you hear as a young person, you hear of they're the same, they're the same, they want sex the same, they want sex the same way, they want as much as you do. And as a young male, the male just goes, oh, okay. It doesn't really isn't. You got to tell the young male exactly what the differences are,
and the older male, all male.
But
especially younger male. It's true, and I think that in that moment, I feel like for a lot of you said like, oh, but I thought that she was playing hard to get. I think there's something in there too.
Is like no more.
No, that doesn't happen, anymore. Right? She says no means no, and you'd be better off waiting if it's someone you really like. It's always better to err on the side of like pulling back. But then when we're talking about the difference between men and women, men get erection, they're turned on. It's harder to pull back at that, literally, right? You're like surging, your body's testosterone is all taking over, whatever. You know, you like, I understand that for men, especially if you're drinking, were you guys drinking at this party? I'm going to assume.
Right?
Yeah. So, with alcohol, that's the big problem, too.
Mike, anything to add to this?
Go for the butt.
Okay.
Jesus, Mike.
This is John. See, don't laugh at him, Susan. That encourages it. You see, when you laugh, that's the same. That's Ben Affleck.
He's a comedian. Okay, sorry. I was laughing at him being funny, not what he said.
Okay. John from Oregon.
Hey, Mike, Drew, Emily, you guys live.
You live, more.
I had a question on.
Sean Lederman?
It's been over a month now since I've had my last drink, and I still can't sleep.
Is this John? Like, is this John with a? Last? Is this John with a leg injury?
Yes.
Yeah. Nice. So,
not because of his leg injury. We're just
long
excited
lost
that you
brothers.
Know.
Yeah. Yeah. It can go 3-4 months, John. It can go for a while, and especially I'm sure been on pain meds and stuff too, right? For that wound.
No, they gave me Oxy for like 3 days and then I haven't had anything since after that.
Okay, good.
Nice.
Yeah, the sleep stuff can go for a while. Try some melatonin. Sometimes some Benadryl can be helpful, but don't do anything else. Your brain needs to heal. It needs to get its normal physiology back. You can take up to 10 milligrams of melatonin, but you may need as little as just 1 milligram. You can try up to 50 of Benadryl, but that's it. And Benadryl only lasts for a little while and then you get tolerant to it. But it's something to kind of just give you a little bit of a relief as your brain sort of gets back to normal. But 3-4 months would not be unusual at all.
Okay.
All right.
All right. That looks fun to have.
What?
I don't know.
I said that sounds like fun.
Oh, yeah. Waiting 3-4 months. How long was it before your sleep got normal?
Yeah.
Not a long time.
I mean, Mike was like a year.
What's the background here? Because I wasn't here. He stopped drinking.
Explain John Lederman.
Just so we all know.
John Lederman's a wizard of Photoshop and puts up amazing pictures of Drew and I in our bottles and Drew's thick, full dick.
And?
I got really drunk. I went into my garage for I don't know what reason. I slipped and fell and got like a 12-inch gash in my leg.
Okay. I mean, it looked like a Nicole Angemi, pathology post. God. His.
Who just posted this for us? How nice was that?
Oh, yeah. No, John's a wizard at the social media.
Yeah, John. No, I've seen you on social media,
Angemi.
John.
She just posted
Nicole Angemi just posted it. Oh.
She's promoting us. That's I was just saying something to her. How nice.
Oh, she posted my pictures?
She no. would. You sent them to her. Did you send them to her?
Of your gash.
Tried to, and then you said you were going to send them to her too. Also, but
why don't you send them to
them.
Send them because you could send them to
so
her.
So you had
Susan.
The gash, you had that you were drinking, and now you've stopped drinking for
Emily.
A month.
Will send you pictures of her gash.
Okay, it was a profound wound. I mean, his leg
was crazy.
Wide open. How he missed arteries and nerves, just unbelievable. But
it looked like medical pictures I send to you guys to gross you out.
Yeah.
It was like,
whoa. I miss those days.
Yeah.
So now it's been a month since you stopped drinking. Is that what I heard?
Yes.
Trying to catch up.
It's been
got
like 2 months. Really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Because it was a drinking related event.
Well, so that was his bottom.
You can take a picture,
bottom.
Put it on Instagram, and I'll tag Nicole on it. How about that?
Okay. You got that, John? Can you do that?
All right, I'll send it to you.
All right, done and done. All right, buddy.
Nice.
Thank you for calling as always. We
Thank
appreciate
you. You guys live.
You live, man. I think I can't get him on cue. Maybe you can help me with. Oh, I got it. I think we talked to Steve K last time, who was back with his wife. I think he's also a regular caller.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, that's Steve Kirkpatrick.
Yes.
Okay. Well, good for him getting his wife back. He sounded very different when he's with his wife than when he's by himself.
Yeah, don't we all?
Yeah, I guess so. All right. So we got. Let's see. We've got some. Oh, we got a pain medicine question. Should we get into the Weinstein thing a little more? Again, have we hashed that out sufficiently?
Let's talk about it tomorrow.
Okay. Let's talk about this email.
Okay.
This is from
producer
Gracie. Grace says, "How do I start?" This is a female. How do I start dating after 18 years of not dating? I'm 55 and I don't feel comfortable with dating apps, Emily.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand not feeling comfortable. And just remember that dating and meeting people in this sense is like a muscle. And you haven't done it in a while, so there's probably a lot of fear around that, which I understand. And so I'd say the first thing is to take the pressure off yourself and look at it like you're just really meeting people. So
it's like what we told Tony Katane the last show.
Exactly, the same exact thing. Like, take your time. I know you don't like the apps, but you can probably find one that actually works for you, an app that isn't so bad. But also,
how do you do that? How do you know what – do you have to read Yelp reviews or something?
Yeah,
what do you
do? No. I mean, like, there's Bumble, there's Tinder.
But how do you know
Hinge.
What one's right for you? How do
Farmers
you,
only.
Because you put in your the age range you're
get.
Looking for and you see what you get.
Grindr works well for me.
The same. But what I'm saying is I get that there's this I don't want to do apps, but I think people say that and they try. They're like, oh, it's not so bad. But I think you got to do a little bit of everything. Start saying yes to events that you wouldn't normally go to because I think you're going to meet through other friends. Also, you get those Facebook invites things and you're like, you don't even read them. You're like, I'm not going to go to this. But if you look at them, you're like, I'm going to go to a few a week. I'm going to let everyone know that I'm single. You just got to put it out there and, again, take the pressure off yourself because
also,
you haven't done it for 18 years.
I was going to say, at 55 and you're writing, 18 years of no dating and you're writing off apps, make sure you're not writing it off because of generational reasons.
And of the stigma.
Meaning what?
You know, meaning
what?
Like you're writing it off like my dad writes off StubHub. You know, it's like, I'll just go down and buy tickets. I was like, Dad, you don't have to. You can just
right.
Make sure you're not just being stubborn because of something that maybe is new to you generationally.
Exactly.
Because as I talked about in our last podcast, I'm from a generation where dating websites is way whack.
Yeah, you had to hide it.
But it's not that way anymore. It just simply isn't. It's probably the most reasonable way to meet someone.
Yeah, and it's efficient. You can meet people you'd never normally meet.
Well, speaking of efficiency and to that end, meeting mm-hmm. people that you wouldn't otherwise meet, when do you get a dating consultant? Every time, you know what I mean? Whenever I go on an airplane, there's all these like, oh, I get who needs those?
Well, I think that some people, I mean, I don't even know what you're talking. I mean, I know there's people who help you write your ad. I mean, I give advice.
No, there are people that
like matchmakers?
Sort of matchmakery kinds of.
Yeah, you know, that's another way to do it.
They hook people up from around the country.
There's a lot of different matchmaking services. You could kind of find what works for you.
Oh, something's up with Mrs. Pinsky. It was the first lady of love.
What's up, Miss Pinsky?
Well, we got an email from Daryl. He said, Miss Tawny, I cannot call in, but my question is, would you ever date a follower on Twitter or Facebook, even if it's long distance? P.S. I'm in Iowa and I'm single.
I'm in Iowa.
It's so cute. Yeah.
Do you have a private jet?
Yeah. I sent it to her, so maybe.
But I think here's the thing about you can sort these apps by age too, so it's not like you're going to be getting 30. You can be like, I want to date someone between 50 and 60, and you're sitting home swiping and you're seeing who connects, and you make sure you talk to them first.
Full respect to our listener.
Thank you, Tony.
Yeah, to our listener, but I wouldn't advise going long distances with somebody you don't really know.
Yeah, and also
either of you.
But
it's
sweet.
Hard to say yes to something like that.
No, no. It's not a good idea.
It's not hard to say yes. You shouldn't say yes.
Yeah.
It just shouldn't happen.
I mean, you can try to get to know each other and then way down the line get on a plane, but not so way down.
Should we hook up?
Do a FaceTime call.
Should we hook up Tawny Katane with Dr. Bruce?
He has a girlfriend.
No, he lives with a woman.
Yeah. Oh, that's crap. Can we kill her?
He's quite the lady killer, too.
He is?
Yeah.
Great. Here's this is true. You're going to jail, buddy.
Here's a question from Raban. I'm over a porn habit. I'm resolute instead of giving in and resisting. I'm abstaining from masturbating for 1 to 3 weeks. The extra semen built up does not come out. He wants to know what happens. He wants to know what happens if you don't do anything for 1 to 3 weeks. Nothing. You won't die. You'll be fine. I know your fantasy is you will die. But the fact is it can create a lot of tension, but you will reduce with less – there's sort of like a curve to how much sexual activity determines how much semen production. So the more you're active, the more semen you'll produce, and that's sort of one part of the curve. The other part is when you slow down, you'll also slow down semen production, and you'll just resorb it. Your body just pulls it back in, or it will come out through – God will take it out at night, one or the other.
Some men, they say they have more energy and clarity, right? I mean, it can be good to kind of hold back.
Yeah, I think that has more to do with the behavior than anything physiological. Yeah. And there also is a similar curve with the testosterone levels too. You masturbate too much, testosterone starts to fall off, but you don't masturbate enough, testosterone also can be very low.
Hear this, ladies?
Lowish.
You know how many women write, if I don't have an orgasm for a week, am I going to be okay?
Yeah.
This is a young man who's like, am I going to die if I don't drop loads? Right.
I've encouraged women to masturbate because the more women masturbate, we always talk about we're so different. Because the thing about women is they stop masturbating and having sex. They don't even think about it. For many women.
Can't even.
And for a male, he thinks he's going to die.
No, right. He's like, I'm going to die. A woman's like, what? With the vibrator? I got to do it.
God. I continued beating off. And I just am taking a break from porn. And I'm already I'm in a complete funk. And I'm just.
That's why you're all whacked
I'm
out
I'm still
today.
Beating off.
Can you just use your using your brain? What do you
have
mind?
To use
creativity?
My mind.
Good for you.
There's a new kind of recovery ahead here.
How so?
I'm just saying. You were in such a wacky mood when you walked in here, and I didn't want to ask. You just told me everything was flat, and I don't care. I don't care about anything. It was more than usual, a little more than usual. I know you pride yourself in being that way.
It's not more than usual because of beating off.
Well,
it's more than usual because I had to drive across town on a Saturday unexpectedly when there's a Dodger game, playoff game starting.
Okay.
Son of a bitch.
What time did that start? 3?
5.
Okay, so we'll get you out of here.
No, we're good. We're good. My loads have been aplenty, but
I know, but maybe you ought to like.
I frankly stopped. It wasn't even me. I give up porn because of porn. I give up porn because I don't really want to fuck my stepsister or see a woman gape or like You know what I'm saying? Like, it's gotten to the point where I
you
can't
went downstream
find,
into horrible, right. weird stuff.
No, even just if you go to YouPorn now, you have to actively try to find
yeah,
normal
you know what
people
that is?
Sex.
No. That YouPorn has learned what you look at,
exactly.
and now it's giving you all
nope,
that.
Nope, wrong. I hate siblings. I hate babysitter. I want
Did you
hot girls with thick asses having sex. I don't know where in the world this – what has happened to where now we have to have like your fake stepmom come in with her new boyfriend and bang the fake 16-year-old? Like, why don't I just have a hot chick?
Producer, like, anything on Facebook? Anybody making comments?
calls?
No, I've got calls lining up.
So, Mike, when you're masturbating now without the porn, how long has it been?
Like
between masturbations?
No, between porn. Well, he's still masturbating every
days.
Day. But he's not
days,
using
no porn.
Porn. Yeah. No porn, but still masturbating. So what happens? How does the process change? What are you thinking? You lay back? What are you doing?
It lasts longer.
Right? That's good.
But I think it's because I start to feel where I'm like, I'm standing here with my jeans around my ankles like what a loser I am. Where I didn't think about that kind of thing when I'm looking at,
right,
you know,
you're distracted,
Chrissy
but now you
gotta
Mack use your mind like
sodomized.
Back in the old day. Right.
I just like, I don't know. I find myself much more self-conscious of my, I guess.
Nothing to focus on.
Redundant.
That makes sense.
Got it.
But I'm self-conscious, and I also, I have to actively try not to dip into, like, dysfunctional thinking.
Ooh.
Right? So I think about, like, think about your wife and how hot she is and naked. And instead of,
dysfunction?
Like, don't think, dysfunction meaning, like, dangerous sexual behavior.
But it's just fantasy, is that
right?
Yeah. But I guess maybe I'm gun shy to that stuff because I'm, you know,
in a way that's a kind of an abstinence. That's kind of good.
Yeah. I also get maybe unnecessarily concerned with sexual danger because I feel like I've done a lot of work on myself. It'd be like if you had a really nice car, not like you went down and just bought a Bentley. I mean, if you had a 69 Charger and you invested hundreds of thousands of dollars into making it show quality, you're not just going to go drag racing. Meaning I put in so much time and effort into therapy and recovery and all of the couples therapy, all these things for 15, 16 years, and I don't even like to dabble with things that I feel like could pull a card out of that house.
And let me frame that. Let me use a kind of language on that we don't use because I don't know why, but it's fine with me even though it's not clinical language, is that it's not good for Michael's soul.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not good for his soul. He's protecting his soul. He's developing his soul, and he's doing it with all these psychological interventions. But if you diminish – people understand what a soul is. They understand what's good for a soul, bad for a soul. He diminishes that. It works against him. Let's talk to another call here. Let's talk to Michael, another Mike. We have nothing but Michaels today. Michael, what's up?
Shocking. Very uncommon
name. Hey, can you hear me all right?
Exotic name.
We got you.
Yeah, so I'm calling about my grandfather. He has a lot of issues going on. He's been ill for the past 7 years from rheumatoid and psoriatic arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
He also had a severe gout of his left knee.
Okay, so gout. Hang on.
Hip replacement.
All right, so hang on. So hang on. I know where you're going. So let's talk about these situations. You have hip replacements to eliminate pain, so you can walk on your hips again. So that's over. His hips should be fine. Gout only hurts when you have a gout attack. Only, unless you have some sort of chronic problem, which today just doesn't happen. So his hips and his gout are smoke screens.
My hips.
Now, psoriatic arthritis should also have a remittive agent so that the pain could be tolerable. Now, that can go bad, though. Now, you can have bad, bad destructive arthritis that if you didn't get it sort of cared for properly, it can really fall apart. No. So this may all be psoriatic arthritic pain, which can get pretty bad. It can be – but I'm just wondering – I'm betting this is going to be a pain medicine call, and I'm wondering how much he's sort of justifying his pain med use with these other things that are irrelevant.
Right, so he's on hydrocodone as well as a fentanyl patch.
Mm-hmm.
He's also on prednisone, and he does regular Remicade treatment.
Okay, he must see a rheumatologist for the Remicade, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, all right. So
he sees a pain management doctor for the hydrocodone and the fentanyl.
Well, that's I already feel about that.
But I call Emily my goomatologist.
But the
he liked that one. Michael liked that one. How old's your grandpa, dude?
He is 67 years old.
Oh, okay, so he's still a young dude. How old are you?
I am 32.
Oh,
all right. So what is the question?
Yeah, so the question is, he's really fed up with the pain medication, but he is scared to death to get off of hydrocodone. He has tried backing off the hydrocodone, and so they actually switched him to a fentanyl patch so he could try getting off the hydrocodone.
That's a terrible move.
He couldn't stand being off the hydrocodone,
so he maybe introduced
hydrocodone but kept the fentanyl patch.
All right, I just think maybe a new pain management consultant. I mean, what could be wrong with going to see another one and get with somebody that – who is enlightened and is familiar with getting people off opiates. Hey, listen, I don't know if he's in Arizona, but I don't know what the medical marijuana situation is like, but I'd much rather see your grandpa on pot than some of the stuff he's on here. So, you know, there's lots of things that can be done for him, a lot. And the team should be talking. If I were you, Michael, I would call his rheumatologist, talk about your concerns about the pain meds, see if they have another pain management doctor they can refer him to, and go from there. Michael just sent us both a really interesting text. I thought that was a very interesting text, right?
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, you want to describe it? No, it's not. It's not like that at all.
For once, it's not gross.
I'm so surprised.
Thought provoking.
It's very, it's thought provoking.
Okay.
Go ahead and read it, Emily, if you would like.
Look at the picture. Look at the picture first and describe it.
Okay.
I'll post it on Facebook.
Okay. Hold on.
I want to give credit.
Well, I don't know if you want to post it because it's got a.
Oh, you'll get shit for it.
Yeah, I don't want to get political, but it's an interesting thing. Yeah.
It's a picture of Harvey Weinstein sitting with Hillary Clinton and who's the other
Uma side? Abedin.
Uma Abedin. A sexual predator surrounded by two women who fight for women's rights, end quote, that are both married to sexual predators.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
Yeah. True. When was this taken?
Should we feel bad for them?
I feel bad for everyone involved except for Hillary Clinton.
I feel.
I'm not Sean Hannity. I don't think Hillary Clinton is the devil. But it's very clear when you see some behind-the-scenes stuff, whether it be leaked emails or interviews that she's not necessarily sure she's being recorded, that she's definitely actively along for the ride. It's not someone who Uma Abedin. And by the way, Hillary Clinton, you could say what you want about her. You could disagree with her politics. This is not a dumb person. This is not a soft, weak, dumb person.
Huma Abedin, she did leave him, didn't she?
Yes.
That's not necessarily good. Because now her latest thing, what is Weinstein's wife's name?
Hottie
McHotterson.
Georgina,
like our dog.
What's her Latin Poontang?
But Georgina is seeking refuge and consultation with
Uma. I heard this.
Uma Abedin. If I could pick the worst person on earth for that woman, that would be the
exactly.
one. For both of them, frankly, because Uma Abedin has more work to do. This is going to sound. This is not. I'm saying this in a. I'm saying with first of all, peace and love. And I'm saying it from a clinical perspective.
I love this whole peace and love and talking about the soul. This
is
a new Drew.
Uma Abedin has more work to do than Anthony Weiner. I know that sounds terrible. Anthony Weiner has more consequences to deal with and has to clean up his side of the street and bear those consequences. Right. His treatment will take a few years to get him sort of back in order in some fashion. She could take a long time would require essentially psychological microsurgery.
Hey, it's just
somebody that would be with him, with Anthony Weiner, that's who she would be with and stay with and defend. That's not somebody should be talking to.
Yeah, she was probably talking to Hillary Clinton.
And she should not be talking to her, and she should not be talking to Weinstein's wife.
No,
it's just like talk, but not you know supportively.
Right, but
Drew, I mean, you and I, how many times have we seen this? Is the only I can only speak from my knowledge bank when it comes to stuff like this. But man, I used to know this kid. I used to know him. I won't get into detail, but he was battling drugs and alcohol, and I got to know him through recovery. And he was like in his early 20s living with his mom who daily gave him money to go get drugs because she couldn't wrap her head around like laying the hammer down and she paid for attorneys to get him out of jail and to get DUIs. And I always said that woman needs to work harder than the kid.
Right.
The kid needs to go to meetings and needs to abstain. This woman needs to do deep therapy. And it's the same kind of
– Same thing.
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing, and I know that sounds kind of glib and maybe bizarre to some people, and they're not – the codependent so-called is not the identified patient, but I'm here to tell you that occasionally people get into relationships they slip into and they make a bad choice and they get out of it quick, right, and they move on with their lives and they take a look at themselves and go, I wonder why I did that. And then they correct.
Like Eliza Schlesinger with the piss collector.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, want to describe that?
No, I was just making an offhanded joke. But
no, but the caller was a pee collector. Her boyfriend wasn't, right?
No. That's how she knew that she found out about how he was lying about going to an Ivy League school.
Yeah, I remember that.
All of it was a facade because she discovered his piss collection.
Oh, I didn't know about that. Right. That's so he's schizophrenic.
That was like the straw that broke the camel's back, where she finally was like,
"Sheesh."
I'm pretty sure that was Eliza.
Yeah, yeah. So she
had, Eliza had the so-called Ivy League guy that was, poor Eliza. But the thing about these, when you get attached to people that are severely disturbed, the correction you need to make in your own psyche is deep, and it's what?
I'm just laughing at the words "piss collector," I'm imagining it like a job, collector.
You were there, right?
Yeah, I think I was there. Yeah, I remember that. How could we forget?
Well, people start collecting pee or stool. That's a psychotic disorder.
Right. Yeah, well, Eliza makes you want to collect another liquid.
Oh, we've not talked about the three of Ralphie May was on when you were on Loveline. Was he not?
I know.
Oh, he was. I haven't talked about
that
this
one.
Really.
Hurt, man.
Me too.
Though, I mean, don't get me wrong. God bless you. God rest your soul, Ralphie. He was such a sweet man. But I'm still. I can't. I mean, I've never had a celebrity death affect me like Chester. That one rocked me. I'm having trouble talking about it.
I didn't know he had as bad depression as he did. Did you know?
I kind of did. I did.
I didn't know. He had really bad suicide depression. Like bad. And he's the greatest guy. Did you ever meet him?
I never really met him. I don't
think
so.
Oh, my God. Greatest guy ever. And on the heels of Chris Cornell, it was extra.
Did we find out how Ralphie died?
No, I've not heard yet. Mike, any inside scoop on that?
No. I'm assuming cardiac issues, but what led to it? You know.
I mean, there have been some substance.
He's a big man. He's a big,
there's
big,
been some substance
dude.
Issues,
yeah.
Has there not?
Yeah.
And if you are ill with a substance problem and you take too much, you'll stop breathing, and then you got big trouble when you're that
Did
size.
You always know he had a substance problem and depression?
He had been open about struggles.
Mike talked to him a little about it. I never discussed it with him. Right. I don't think he really wanted to talk about it.
It was a lot last week.
Yeah, and we were walking around Las Vegas with my executive producer and her husband, our boyfriend from Life Changers, and he and her boyfriend and I were walking down the street, and I was like, "Oh my God, Ralphie May's here!" He was at the Bally's, I guess, then. Mm-hmm. I'm like, "We got to go see him. He's the funniest guy
there.
You got to go see him." And we went over there, we saw him, we talked to him, went backstage, we saw him afterwards, we hung out with him.
He was a killer. He was a killer. Like when he got on a roll. I mean, he was just one of those guys.
I was actually going to call him last week too.
I know for this. But what Mike is describing is literally the case. Like, he will go at the room until people are like over in their chairs gasping for air, like the whole room. I've never seen anything like that.
There's people like, you know, there's incredibly gifted people like a Louis C.K. or a Seinfeld. But then there's a killer like a Joey Diaz or Ralphie May, where when they get on a roll, like your people are getting ill because they're laughing.
I saw him once in the it's loud. People get ill. It's true.
Yeah, like
I saw him once in the Shrine.
Oh yeah, and he was at the
thing, and you would see waves go through of people just the room would just have waves of like gasping.
Where,
and
people peak into almost like a hysteria.
Yeah,
yeah. I've been in a room where Stanhope's done that. Where you're like, stop it.
Yes. I've had Corolla do that too.
Oh, I've had Corolla do that as a listener. Corolla do that where I.
It's a weird thing about comedy. I don't think anybody really talks about it very much.
One time, Corolla.
I call it machine gun.
This
when they come at you.
Like, got to be like 20 years ago, where Corolla went off on a rant about how insulting it was about how big dicks were in porn and about how insecure he felt about it.
Yeah.
And he's like, Drew. And then there's this guy comes on. Pulls down his pants, and of course she's got two hands on his dork, and there's still another 4 inches of taco over her. And I'm just driving my car. I'm like, oh, come on, stop. Stop it, stop. I'm laughing too hard.
Yeah. I've had that happen with Howard, too, with Howard Stern. All right. We have no calls. We have anything on Facebook going on there?
Everybody thinks that Mike's in a funk. I guess he's.
He was in a funk. And I saw it. He's fine.
He wants to know what the score is for the Dodger game.
I'm in a funk like Bootsy Collins because I'm fucking crushing with my amazing
funk,
electricity.
His funk was related to having to be here as opposed to at the Dodger. You going to the Dodger
game? I'm trying
game?
To get
I
the
thought
score
it was related to the no porn.
And I'm thinking it's related to the no porn at that point.
I did not perceive myself to be, but clearly everyone's saying it. If it was, it's honestly probably just because of lack of sleep. My daughter decided
that she was not going to go to sleep last night, and not like a fussy thing, just like talkity, 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 talk. And then an hour would go by, and I'm like, oh, it's awesome she's asleep. And then you hear, Papa! Papa! Are we going to go buy pumpkins tomorrow? I was like, Magnolia, it's 11 o'clock. Come on. And then I just couldn't
sleep. Did you do that this morning? Is that what that picture's from this morning?
Yes, we did. We went and bought pumpkins.
Aww. Aww,
so good. The no sleep didn't bother her.
I don't think you seem like you're more in a funk than usual. Like, I feel like you seem like Mike. No, you seem more like, you know, you. But not more down than
my daughter said the weirdest shit today. Mm-hmm. This is a three-year-old.
Please.
The three-year-old person.
Go ahead.
And I go, all right, we got to get our pumpkins. And she's like, we're going to carve them, right? And I'm like, yeah, we're going to make jack-o'-lanterns. This is third year in a row we've done the jack. So now she's accustomed to decorating. And I go, are you going to make a mummy? Are you going to make a zombie out of your? And she's like, I'm going to make Abe Lincoln. And I said, what? I was like, Abe Lincoln?
Who Abe Lincoln is.
And then I go, oh, that you must have just heard that name in some book at your school. Yeah. She's like, he was president a long, long time ago. I was like, what?
Wow.
But then I thought about how weird Abe Lincoln looks. Like, what a weird looking, like, what a unique looking human being.
Did you get a really tall pumpkin?
He should be carving for a while.
And you know what? He was weird, as a personality too. Very strange. He maybe had Marfan's, but he was just not a normal.
But I thought Marfan makes you talk funny.
No, Marfan. No, you're thinking of Marfan Mike.
Marfan Mike.
No,
yeah.
No, more Marfans is very subtle. You don't
know. Howard, it's Marfan Mike.
He doesn't. And Marfan Mike actually doesn't have Marfans. Turns out he doesn't.
Here's another
thing. Confusing.
And this is not just going to be for the Stern crew. This is for the world. I grew up in San Marino, which is essentially Shanghai West. Beijing.
But like the elite, rich part.
Listen,
of Shanghai.
I know Chinese culture, and I feel like a close connection to it. And it bothers me that they call Asian Pete Asian Pete, as if Asian encapsulates what the fuck's wrong with him.
Yeah,
some guy calls up the show. He's like, "Hello, blah, blah, blah," and they're like, "Oh, it's Asian Pete." If everyone who's Asian is impossible. He has palsy or something.
Yeah, I think it was some reference to the inability to understand his language, right?
But this dude, I grew up with kids that got the day before they got off of some boat from Taiwan.
No, I get it.
Talk like that.
I understand your point. All right. So, what about Mike? I'm just wondering if you would contemplate, in addition to stuff,
ketamine.
We talked about that. Yeah. But yeah, I think ketamine would.
Well, I'm going to see my shrink this week.
Talks about a ketamine infusion. Really, I'm not kidding. Five infusions can have
ketamine.
They're marked effect on depression.
But why can't I just do it for free with Rue Jude? Why can't I just go over there?
It's a special dose and a certain kind of infusion.
My friends are doing ketamine,
No, it's an IV infusion. You go to sleep for a couple hours, and then I don't know what the protocol is, but they have five, six treatments.
Can I get one of those?
Markedly
to help with depression after five treatments by a psychiatrist doctor.
It's for recalcent depressions.
Mike
definitely fits the profile.
So we also had a request for Rudy.
Oh.
Which we've had so many times.
Okay, all right.
I might laugh now.
Go get him.
We can all actually laugh.
You want to talk about someone who's pissed that he's not watching the Dodger game. I mean, I'm just warning you guys. Rudy, come here, bud.
Rudy, I'm sorry, man. Dude, I am
There's no score yet, Rudy, it's okay.
You don't have to tell me. I got my fucking Walkman, so I can listen in my ear.
Dude, you seem actually in a better mood than I thought you'd be. I thought you'd be like swinging at people.
No, a sober October, dog.
Oh my God, you're doing it with Joe and Bert?
Nah, I'm just lying.
Oh,
I blazed right before I got here, fool.
Okay,
I smoked weed on my way over. All right,
maybe that's your Cutlass.
I was following Mike and my Cutlass, and I was blazed out a big fat, looked like a fucking tampon. My joint.
Maybe that's why you're not so irritated about the missing the Dodger game, or at least being late to the Dodger game.
The Cubs are mas puto. We can all agree on that, right? Cubs are mas puto.
Not last year, right? It was kind of fun.
Fluke?
You think so?
Fish.
Who's your favorite Dodger right now?
Oh, that's not even open for debate, dog.
What is it?
Yasiel Puig.
Really?
He's my boy, dog.
No kidding.
Big, thick pito. I can see it.
You ever go try to find him and blaze with him?
Oh, no. I didn't blaze with him because he's not down for that.
Oh.
He's like, he told me, I don't do the mota. But, like, one time I waited.
The muta?
Mota. Yeah, I don't do the mota. But I waited after the game.
Yeah.
And I saw he had his white Bentley with like the suicide doors. It was all gold plated and
nice,
shit.
Nice.
And I was like, hey, I see you. And so then we went to Felipe's and we got some French dip.
You and he?
And we went looking for pussy.
You and Yasil.
That's yeah. right. Panocha all over LA with Yasil Puig.
Wow.
And next thing I know, he had like 5 holes. But I was still like, you know, I was like, hey, I'm a married man.
Yeah, you've always been very good to say that, girl. Really?
No, I ain't got no reason to like go outside my marriage. You know, I like to look. I like to browse window shopping. I like to do como si, the pussy window shopping. Mm-hmm. But I ain't never buying. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like I got my American Express maxed out with my wife.
You got the black card there.
The black card.
With her. Yeah, you know? Good for you, man. Do you know Rudy?
It's like, it's not the black card for her. It's like the pink card. You
for
know?
Her. Because oh, I her, see.
Because of the labia. You know what I'm saying?
Do you notice Rudy's in an awfully good mood?
He's in a great
I'm
mood.
So surprised. I thought he was going to be irritable, angry, exactly. and yelling at us because he's maybe you're looking forward to the series of Dodgers. Maybe that's why you're
not. You know what? Like, this is our year four. Like, people say, like, is this one of the best teams ever? I'm like, I don't know, but I know I deserve it. Well, been sitting in the left field pavilion for like 900 years.
Hey, did you see me sing the national anthem last year?
I did. I was like, damn, dog.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
You know, I was like, that's the best thing I've seen since Julio Iglesias when I was 7 years old. I went with my grandma.
Went during the World Series or something?
Yes. No, we went to see Julio Iglesias at the Rose Bowl.
Oh, yeah, she went to see him.
That fucking bitch left me there. She went to home. She met some guy.
And you were 8 years old?
I was late. I was like, hey, grandma, how am I going to get home? Oh. She didn't care. This is before cell phone, too. And then I found her the next day, and she's like, mijo, shut up. I met this vato with a big old pito like this.
She did not say that.
She did. And then she hit me. She's like, why are you crying?
I'm sure she hit you.
She's like, how come you're getting all up in my business? I was like, but you left me there. She's like, don't your legs work? It's only like 10 miles, and she was right.
Yeah.
You know, I got
did you walk home?
No, I called my friend Cricket on his pager, you know, because that was back in the
day. You were 8.
I know.
Cricket had a pager when he was 8?
Well, I mean, you know, he was already slanging, dog. Oh, that's why they called him Cricket, because his beeper is always chirp, chirp.
But at age 8, I'm like, impressive.
So they was like, hey, Cricket, because it was like everywhere you go, you know, like beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, I get it. So Sad Girls, how's she doing these days? How's she been?
Oh, she's good. Like, her fupa's growing again. Her, like, nalgas are growing. But I still love her. You know, it's more woman to love.
Does she ever get mad?
Sometimes at you? I look. Sometimes I blast. When I blast her panocha, I blast like this, and I'll look down at her fupa, at her panza right here, and it'll go back and forth. And sometimes it hits like you know, like executives have the pendulum on their desk. You know, that's what her belly does to the top of my pubes. It's just like blah 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 blah, like back and forth. And then sometimes I play a game where it's almost like a racquetball with her belly fat between my dick and her titties. You know, because like blah 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 blah. You know, like the angle.
So how are your kids doing?
Which one?
Rudy Jr.
Rudy Jr.'s all right. Like he's having a little trouble right now because he goes to Rosemead High School.
Oh, I thought he was already like, oh, that's the other Rudy.
That's Rudy number one.
Yeah, isn't there one the Rudy like 32?
You mean Little Whisper?
Oh, Little Whisper, yeah.
But Rudy Jr. goes to Rosemead, and they're trying to put a Heine on the football team.
Oh, yeah.
And he's all upset, you know.
He's upset.
Yeah, because he's, you know, he's good at football.
Yeah, but so what? What does he care if the girl on the team?
He cares because, like, they're doing it for the Masputo political correctness.
So what? If
she sucks.
She'll be subjected to the same sort of, you know, need to earn her position like any other player.
I feel like he's really frustrated because like she just wants to play football, but he wants to tap that ass.
Oh, that's what I figured. And, that like, sounds more like that's for your son. You know there you go. For? Yeah. Now I get it.
Because I saw
it's
her.
Distracting.
It was a big, thick, fat ass. You know what I'm saying?
So, Rudy, what do we have to look forward to with the Dodgers? Are they likely to win this series, you figure?
They're going to win forevers.
Forevers?
Yeah, like pretty
do you
much
think that,
forevers.
Do you think that that Magic and his team, his squad of executives are really going to put together a legacy here?
Yeah, but like they need to like know their audience, Doug. You know, like I feel like that Bilderberg group or whatever it is they call it, the Hindenburg or whatever the fuck his group is called.
Yeah.
They need to hire like Steve Gutenberg. What's it called? His fucking group. Magic, the investors.
But I'm more interested in Steven Gutenberg being part of it. Why would you want Steve Gutenberg on the Dodgers?
Guggenheim.
Oh,
Guten.
It's the Guggenheim group?
Yeah, that's the group. Okay. I'm like, Gutenberg, same shit.
Okay. And
it's all a bunch of...
Something Jewish.
That's right, fool. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think they need to get like George Lopez in there or like Oscar De La Hoya or some shit.
To do what?
Because they need... Like, how can you have a team where you're... It's like Red Lobster needs a couple black people working there, because you can't have a 90% black clientele without like people to help them. The Dodgers can't have 95% of the people there named Gomez, Sanchez, Gonzalez, and then everyone that owns it, there's no
vodka. So let me see who's in the Guggenheim Partners presently.
Not George Lopez.
Key people. Oof. Ugh. A lot of names like Schwartz and Irvin.
Wait, listen, dog, I'm down with that. You know what I'm saying? I love my Jewish friends. But I'm saying if the Dodgers are going to be the Dodgers, you could throw in one brown guy. That makes sense, right?
How about a woman?
Nah, that's not getting crazy.
Come on, there's no listen. Hey, what do you think about the Weinstein thing? Did you have any thoughts about that?
Dog, you know what? I was thinking about it.
I figured. Like, what'd you think?
Damn. Who doesn't love pussy?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
But you can't be treating ladies like that.
Okay. See, I
he's out of his goddamn mind, fool.
That's what I'm talking about.
Ladies deserve to be treated with respect. And I understand you want to tap that ass, but that doesn't mean you got to be like an animal. You got to massage your way in there. You can't punch your way in there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You get a girl, take her out on a date, throw the top down on your Cutlass or your Impala, and you reach over and you hold her hand. You're like, I'm going to sing the slow jam to you, baby.
No, hold on. Before you sing the slow jam, there is some new news on Mr. Weinstein. The Motion Picture Academy has expelled him.
Yeah, I saw that this morning.
The American Pigs Academy.
First thing in the morning.
Yeah, so, I'm a little behind, Susan. Thank you. Uh-huh. And so...
Tawny's been telling me that, too.
Okay, Rudy, now you can sing.
You reach over and I touch her on her leg, you know, like this. I say, hey, we're going to go get some Al Pastor tacos right now. But before we do, I want to let you know. Always and forever.
Evers.
Each moment with you. It's just like a dream to me that somehow came true. And then sometimes I could sense that she's getting like Mojada downstairs.
Mojada,
You know what I'm saying? A little bit, just a little drip, drip. You know,
you know, I want to tell people about your famous song, the song I love. This is a You Live podcast. We're
this
sort of
is
it's
you
a reunion.
Live. And my heart's swelling.
And Rudy, one of the first time Rudy came in, he played a song. He composed a song right there based on a caller.
Well, this bitch calls up. She's like... I really like to lick my boyfriend's butthole. That's true, Susan.
It's what happens.
Hey, don't trip. She said this for reals, right, Dr. Drew?
That's what happens.
She goes, I really love licking my boyfriend's butthole, but only when I'm high.
Yeah, she was like super
said,
high.
Otherwise, simple solution. Smoke more blunts, lick more butt. Oh,
and then he came up with a song to accompany this.
Wait, maybe do it.
Here it goes.
I don't remember. Smoke more blunts, lick more butt. No need to live your life with your brown eyes shut.
Key to every young man's soul
is some fine ass weed and a licked butthole.
There you go. There you go. Key to every young man's
soul.
There's
a lot of truth to that, too, dog.
Now, remember, ladies, you don't have to laugh at it. It encourages more. You can sit and go, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that. Mike and I can laugh.
It's Rudy. I know. It's not funny.
But Rudy, you know, Rudy, and by the way, you can't judge him. He's from a different culture than you.
That's right.
So how dare you judge
him?
I'm
from the supreme culture.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Aztecs and shit figured out like calendars way before white people.
You're getting hearts and scary faces.
And Yeska.
That's right.
They found the Yeska.
It's true. Like we were smoking weed crazy long time ago, dog. But I'm pretty sure they discovered that in Asia, though.
Oh, the Yesco's definitely. I think so.
But like,
your people put it as good.
They named it marijuana, which is actually just—it's not even really weed. Do you know that the word marijuana is like some Mexican tobacco?
Oh, I did read something.
But they adopted that name for it in America for some reason.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
As opposed to, was it called hemp elsewhere? Or is it
cannabis? I don't know. Yeah. I guess.
All right. Well, Rudy, thank you. I appreciate you being in a good mood for us here.
Hey, I'm in a great mood, dog. Yeah. Like the Dodgers.
Go Dodgers.
Are going to win the World Series. My lady has like a nice, thick, juicy ass.
Yeah.
And my kids are
kids
all like,
doing good. They're
my
healthy.
My kids are all like, you know, they're not in jail or nothing. They're all like on honor roll.
Good for you, man. I've seen you come. You've covered a lot of territory back since you first composed Lick More, Smoke More Blunts, Lick More Butt.
I got a trunk full of weed.
Uh-oh.
I got like.
I don't think you want to say that.
I know you, like, that's true. Like,
I know. Well,
there's probably no cops listening, right?
Well, you can go out
legal,
the back.
Dog. I got cataracts.
Okay. All right.
I got the medical card right here.
Prescription like everybody.
I keep my medical card
does
in
Joe
my
Rogan,
foreskin.
Does Joe Rogan have prescription? I wonder.
Joe Rogan's dope. I bet you he's got prescription. I keep mine in my foreskin all the time, dog. And not even in my wallet. So, like, I get pulled over. I get right me up. I just roll back my foreskin right here.
Rudy?
Take a look, dog.
Rudy, we're going,
right
we're here going on south,
my
friend. We're going
officer, south. Take a look at my feet, though, right
Rudy,
here.
I'm going to ask Mike to come back in. Thank you,
I got
buddy.
My prescription number tattooed on my asshole.
Go watch. Oh, my God. The Raiders moved to Las
I told
Vegas.
The judge.
Wait, dude. The Raiders moved to Las Vegas.
I know.
What's going to happen?
I already bought Landon Henderson County.
Okay, good. All right.
You can't stop.
All right, Rudy. We'll talk later. Mike, welcome back.
Hey, and another thing. God bless all those people affected by, speaking of Las Vegas, that shooting.
Yeah.
It's gross and repugnant and shit.
Repugnant and shit. Well done. True. Well said, my friend. All right, Emily, thank you for joining us.
Love
as always, it's a pleasure to get the old band back together, get the
really
team back together.
Hey, Emily, you give up the butt.
We can talk about that.
She's a skinny hind now. Like, I don't know if the skinny hindness can tolerate.
You wouldn't be into my butt.
Huh?
You wouldn't be into my butt.
Nah, I'm a married man.
Yeah, I got you.
But I'm pretty sure, like, if you, like, really need it, like, if it was to save your life.
I got your number.
I'd take a crack at your asshole for sure.
Okay. All right.
I definitely.
Before Facebook kicks us off, how are all the scary faces doing? The scream faces?
Yeah, I got some scary faces and a few thumbs up and some pretty angry people. But Kyle.
White women.
Kyle wants a shout out. He says, I'm
a bunch of angry white women.
And since sobering up, my depression's gotten worse.
Oh,
do Mike and Drew recommend?
Get to a meeting immediately.
Yeah.
Because because that if you don't replace the alcohol with something and you're really a true alcoholic, you mood and anxiety can go out.
Exercise too, man.
Nutrition, sleep, all that stuff, but meeting. All right, everybody. Thank you. Thank you, those that support us here. Thank you to Hydrolyte. Thank you to the amazing program at the Alliant.edu, the California School of Professional Psychology. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, at Dr. Drew, at Weekly Infusion, at First Lady of Love. Go to drdrew.com/contact and send us all your questions, upcoming shows. We've got a bunch of stuff. We can set it up for you guys and just give us some suggestions. Also look out and check out the podcast with Corolla, Heishober, Dr. Bruce, Dr. Spaz, Bob Forrest, and the new show with Ami Horowitz, the Howard Vortex. All right. We'll see you all later. Thank you all.
Thanks.
See you next time. All right, it is fall and your immune system is about to get tested, everybody. Not only does the changing weather mark the start of cold and flu season, it's also back to school time when kids become walking petri dishes. While catching something may be inevitable, there is no excuse for letting yourself get dehydrated in the process. So when you're wiped out with cold or flu, the first piece of advice always to drink plenty of fluids, but we seem to forget that. Now, once you've started feeling dehydrated, it's already too late for water or sports drinks. Rapid rehydration requires the proper balance of sodium, glucose, and water, and nothing gives this like Hydrolyte. Hydrolyte's formulation is based on established, proven science, and it is the simply best rehydration product I've found in this country. Hydrolyte comes in great flavors, orange, berry, lemonade, and it's available in a pre-mixed drink, powder, or what I prefer, those effervescence tablets. You just drop in a glass of water or a bottle of water. Off you go. It's like your own portable IV, but you can do it enterally. Compared to sports drinks, Hydrolyte delivers up to 4 times the electrolytes with 75% less sugar. Hydrolyte solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-use, easy-to-follow instructions. You can find Hydrolyte at Rite Aid or online at Amazon.com. And for a limited time, our listeners can save 30% on Hydrolyte. Just click the banner on our site, drdrew.com. 30% off. Great deal. Do it.
Remember, you can find all these podcasts at drdrew.com. The Dr. Drew podcast, the This Life podcast, and the Adam and Drew podcast, which is available 5 days a week. Find them all on iTunes and rate us 5 stars. Subscribe and get it first. And if you're really happy, click on the Amazon banner at drdrew.com to help support the show. We'll thank you for it. If you join the email list via drdrew.com/contact, we'll send you a weekly infusion newsletter with Dr. Drew's news. We're so grateful when you get in touch. We read all your emails and we'll bring you the subject matter you want to hear about. You live.